Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is All Things Elite. Welcome back to All Things Elite. Load up the pod, man, it's on when we speak. Rich right here, let me warm it up for Austin and Floyd. Couldn't be no one but the boys. When it come to All Things Elite from the fan perspective, swear, man, it ain't no question. Hear from them first. Swear, man, they putting in the work. No, they had to get me for the verse. Social Suplex Network Zone. I was at a time in your headphones. Austin and Floyd on the microphone. Backing out on the rant, getting in the zone. Pulling up the show, give it 7 stars, you already know. Who else could it be but the show with the proclivity for a positivity? I'm gone.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the 251st episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Sumwas, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
I am doing well. I want to send out a shout out to my boys, the Young Bucks, for saving tag team wrestling. We'll get that and more into that later. They did right by my boys did right by me. I actually redesigned my room this week and it had nothing to do with it, but now I got like all of my Young Buck figures up. So that is a good place to be. My friend Tiffany came to visit. She's here.
Yeah,
we're going to watch some wrestling tomorrow. So she's in there hanging with Winnie. So that's always good. Or Winston, for all of you that don't know who I'm talking about, my dog. And so, yeah. And we had a good Grand Slam show. I was like very, very happy with how the Grand Slam show turned out.
Yeah, no, Grand Slam, we had a lot to talk about with Grand Slam, and it's going to be an exciting time talking about that. We still got Collision Grand Slam coming up on Friday, and it's interesting what we've got looking towards the horizon as we get ready for the 5th anniversary of Dynamite as well. Before we get into everything, though, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple on YouTube Music or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify, wherever you choose to listen to us, give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish, rate, review, subscribe so you don't miss a single episode, and follow us on Twitter. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter, at Social Suplex, are the guys that make this show possible. Please check out all the other shows they have on their network. I am at Austin Sumowitz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter, and we got some interesting news of the week in terms of the way that fans consume AEW content, specifically the pay-per-views. Traditionally, BR Live or Bleacher Report was how AEW would stream a lot of their pay-per-views. But that is actually the big news of the week, is that Bleacher Report Live, or their streaming basically, is being sunsetted. It's being retired almost. So Floyd can go into a little bit of details on the specifics of that. Are you muted, good sir?
You had to be. Okay, now I'm here. You had to be paying attention during the show because he kind of just said it and went on to the next thing. So, Bleacher Report's going away. So you'll still be able to watch it on pay-per-view.com and what is it, Triller.com. And I forgot that there was always a third one, but I don't remember the third one. So Bleacher Report.
I know YouTube, you can buy them on YouTube now.
That's the one, yeah, YouTube. And apparently they're going to make it a way where if you've purchased other AEW sites, you'll be able to transfer them over to one of the pages. I have not given information yet on how that's going to be done, but that's what Excalibur said in the quick announcement. Like I said, if you weren't paying attention, like me and JR were watching it, and I was like, say what? And I rewinded it. So I had to rewind it so I could hear it, because it was just like, this huge thing that people use is going away. And yeah, so I thought that I was like, yeah, that's a pretty big story to some of the people that listen. Cause if you started from the original, like the reason I stay with Bleacher Report is cause all my purchases were Bleacher Report. So I had, BR Live. I had every pay-per-view bought. So I stayed ordering through BR Live because that's where my stuff was anyway, and I just didn't want a bunch of different shows in different places and all that kind of stuff. So and that's why I always roll with them. So this is like crazy, honestly. It is crazy that that's going away. I understood a lot of people have problems with it, and I understand
never
that.
Never really fully got out of second gear, I felt like, in terms of like not lagging or stuff like that.
I will tell you, I think I only watched 2 or 3, not live. So my experience was watching it was always on replay. So never really had the bad experience everybody else had because I was watching it on replay. So I'm glad for the people that didn't like it, but it was like, it's like one of those things. I see people celebrating it going away, and I'm just like, you didn't have to order through there anymore. Like, they have 3 other pages.
Right. Yeah. I know the moment I got the opportunity to do stuff through, previously it was called Fight, now it's Triller TV.
Yeah.
Like, I switched over immediately.
Yeah,
I used Fight for when I got all the StarCast stuff, and when I got Ring of Honor pay-per-views as well, and that was where I switched over. And then eventually they just made it so that way you could purchase every single year, like, pay-per-view in a yearly bundle. And I was like, that's how I'm doing my shit, dude. I'm just going to keep it all on that. So,
yeah, pay-per-view.com, if you go to their Twitter, they're actually running a contest where you can win all the rest of the pay-per-views for the year free.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah, so I can say this now as I listen, and another reason I stay with BR Live is they didn't have a login limit. So let's say I have my account, right? Literally as many people that wanted to watch it under my account could. Now, if you use Fight TV or all the rest of them, I think the streaming limit is 2, and they'll be like, oh, you got too many people watching this. BR Live, they didn't keep up with that. So, you know, as many as 20, 25 people might be watching the pay-per-view on someone's account. So that goes away.
You came in clutch for us for a while,
yeah,
I know.
Yeah, and it was funny because, you know, people were like, dude, you don't understand. Every pay-per-view that they had, I bought 2 pay-per-views. Two accounts had pay-per-views. So I made sure they got 2 purchases because a lot of people that might have watched it, they weren't going to buy it. They just wouldn't have seen it. So I was making sure the content got out there, you know, from a lot of people. And so I was very happy to do it, but I even said it. Once they go to HBO Max, because HBO Max has streaming limits, once they go to these different places with streaming limits, it was fun, but it's over. So that idea is sunset too. But I will always tell people this. Talk to your friends. If $50 a month is too much for you, talk to your friends, yeah. Buddy up with them. Hey, $25 is a lot less than 50. You know what I mean?
It is, for sure. Sure.
So, you know, call your friends and maybe you can go half on a pay-per-view, find houses to go watch. I will, if you have any, you know, questions or, you know, things for me, I will always throw that out to you, whatever I can do to help. But yeah, it's kind of an end of an era. I know, like I said, I know a lot of people don't like VR Live, but again, for like basically this whole year, if you don't like VR Live, you could have just went somewhere else.
It wasn't exactly. You had options.
You had options. You were just, you know, being angry for no reason at that point.
Right. But anyway, that's besides the point. So again, that's a big news that they quickly said, but we want to make sure just everyone knows that. So Bleacher Report, VR Live.
Did you
catch
it?
Going away for AEW.
Did you catch it?
No, it was quick. Yeah. I was like, oh wow, damn.
Yeah.
I was used to seeing it as like one of the options that he would run through, and he didn't say it, and I was like,
No, he said it was being sunset, and he just did his Excalibur thing. Best of the business, but he said it so fucking fast that I would be shocked if a lot of people didn't miss it.
Yeah, so, but that's basically how it's going to be like for now, so.
Yeah.
But with that said, we're going to move on to AEW Grand Slam from Arthur Ashe Stadium in Queens, which opened up with Nigel McGuinness coming out. This man cut an amazing promo, I will say, to close out Collision last week. Great, great, great stuff that he did there. And he proceeded to come out. He said he didn't see the American Coward all day. And he called for a 10 count from the referee, saying, I want to be declared the winner after the 10 count. Danielson should be stripped of the title. This came after he did not come out to his original AEW music. Paul Turner begins the 10 count. This is a little bit nitpicky. I thought it would be nice if Nigel was like, you know, I want the 10 count. And if Paul Turner was a little bit resistant to that, and then Nigel threatened him and then he started doing it. I don't know. That was like a little bit of a heel moment that I would have loved to see.
Because
Paul Turner was just like, okay. Because
if you're going reality, if you're going actual like reality of wrestling,
like why is that the rule?
He wasn't really scheduled for a match. It was if he was cleared.
Exactly.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah. But he can't.
I would have preferred if Nigel was like, Paul, better fucking count to 10 right now and declare me the winner.
Yes. Yeah.
So, but whatever. He starts counting, but eventually you hear the final countdown come out, and Bryan Danielson makes his way to the ring. And dude, I mean, like the energy for this match was off the charts. This, all the buildup they've been doing, the video packages, everything that they've done for this match and this rivalry that has been so huge in both of these men's careers, but especially with Nigel being back and having his first singles match in AEW be against, well, in just decades of not being able to wrestle and it being against Bryan Danielson. I mean, it was insane. And these guys, they laid the hammer on each other. The striking that these guys did was absolutely incredible. You look at some good striking and these guys were laying it in, whether it be uppercuts, whether it just be smacking each other. Great usage of Nigel. He had a shot to his thigh and he just goes down like his groin is almost like in pain because of how low that kick was that Danielson gave. But the working of the arm, working on the right arm after Danielson gets brought down onto the floor, thanks to Nigel pulling him from behind, he's holding onto his arm the whole time. And that's crucial for the LaBelle lock that Danielson was struggling to get it on. Struggling and struggling for multiple attempts. He had multiple tries to get into it. I love the usage of that. I loved how Nigel just was reveling in all of this. And eventually, as it goes on and on, Danielson gets caught in the Tower of London, but he's able to kick out, and he's working himself up and everything like that.
That Tower of London was really cool because
it was.
I did my thing. I don't know about you. I made sure not to go back and watch their old matches because I didn't want to compare it. I didn't watch it when it happened live, so. When it happened then, so I'm watching it now, and it's just like, I imagine they were doing a lot of callbacks, but of course, since I didn't watch the other matches, but how he hit that Tower of London, like, just flipped him over, boom, dropped it down, I just thought that was so smooth. Like, Nigel, man, I would honestly say, if he was still wrestling, I don't know how often he's going to wrestle, he would probably be one of my favorite wrestlers. He's just smooth technician, and that's the kind of wrestling I like.
Exactly, and I love just the psychology of the match that they did. But eventually, Nigel gets in the London Dungeon, Danielson gets out and starts hammering him with his elbow, and then Danielson gets knocked out with a huge clothesline, but eventually kicks out. Gets in the label lock, but then he's kind of holding it, and then he kind of grips onto his arm instead of locking his hands together. He grips onto his arm, and then it became the biggest debate of, did Nigel say thank you or did he say fuck you before tapping out? Because I saw fuck you.
I saw thank you. He said it, and to me, he made it deliberate to say thank you. Like, you didn't have to do this. You, I haven't wrestled in this long. You gave me my match in New York. This is all I've ever wanted. I thought it was him saying thank you. If he was saying screw you,
I couldn't tell because I it was so hard to tell because they also censored him.
Yeah,
I heard the censor, so that's why I was like, oh, he said fuck you. But then the commentators are saying, no, he said thank you. He said thank you. He said thank you.
Yeah,
I'm just like,
no. When I watched it the second time, and it to me. Not being a lip reader or anything, I thought it was thank you.
Right. Whatever the case may be, he forces him to tap out, and Danielson retains the AEW World Championship. But then Christian Cage comes out. He's got his challenger contract, his next AEW World Championship contract, and he's got a pen. And he proceeds to look like he's going to sign the contract, but Kip Sabian sneaks up, steals the pen, and runs away as Christian Cage chases Kip Sabian to the back. And as he is running to the back, Pac and Claudio Castagnoli are in the back through the tunnel. And I love the shot of that, of them, him just running into those two. And then he just kind of runs away. I loved that shot. That being said, I couldn't help but be like, wait a second. If you knew you were going to do this, why would you not sign the contract before you came out?
Because Christian is a grandstander. He wanted to put the fear. He was playing mind games. He wanted to put the fear. He wanted to put the fear in Bryan Danielson's heart that it was coming. And shout out to my boy Kip Sabian. Coming out there to save us.
We love seeing Kip out there, yeah.
Saving us.
But I was just like, man, if you just signed that before you walked out there, there was nothing Kip could have done except for if he tried to beat you up.
Well, I mean, he could have just took him out before the match, you know.
That's what I meant. That's like if he beat him up. What I thought was going to happen. The stealing of the pen, like I said, it led to the really cool shot of Pac and Claudio in the tunnel. So I'm not going to complain too much about it. But again, my brain was just like, hang on a minute. Just give me, hang on a minute. All right. That's all I'm saying. Not going to nitpick on it too much. It's very silly. And again, it's stupid pro wrestling logic. I'm going to say
with Christian's grandstanding personality, it actually fits.
No, and again, it's very fun. It was very entertaining that way. But this match, dude, this was my match of the night, personally. I know what's coming afterwards and all that kind of stuff, but this was my match of the night, and I just...
It was my most anticipated match, and it did not disappoint.
It did not disappoint.
You know, but, you know, my match of the night goes to my guys. We'll get there.
We'll get there. Save us.
But,
yeah, if Bryan Danielson, I mean, if we get to see more of Nigel McGuinness wrestling, I will be so grateful. Because, man, as somebody who did not grow up in Ring of Honor time when this man was in his peak and all that kind of stuff and did not get to see Nigel McGuinness as a wrestler, I would love to be opportunity this timeline because dude can still go And I love his work just from what he's done in his first two matches in AEW.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree.
We then had the FTW Championship match between Hook and Roderick Strong. Big for the FTW Championship in New York. I thought it was a fun match.
It was so funny because I wondered why this match was on the show, right? I really did.
Like, you kind of were like, wait, why are we exactly having Roderick Strong go after Hook for the FTW Championship? It's like, again, they had him and Hook going back and forth, and like Roddy wanted to get a shot at him and all that kind of stuff. And then we were like, why is this match here? You know, this feels like it does not fit compared to anything else on the card. Then we understood when the match ended.
Yes.
When the match ended. So, again, fun match. FTW rules. We always love, like, seeing those types of things. Roderick's great as well.
Yeah, shout out. You know, gave him the shake of the hand.
And they showed off sign of respect, too. And we were surprised upon that. They even had a hug in that moment, too. So we were quite surprised. Hook then goes over and he's interviewed by Tony Schiavone after he gets the victory. And he says, all good things must come to an end. On behalf of my family, he thanks every single wrestler who has competed for this championship. He thanks all the fans who have supported this FTW championship. Here, I would like to announce that the FTW championship is officially retired. He hands the title back to Taz, who's got tears in his eyes, and they hug. And bro, I mean, it's a genuinely wonderful moment. A title that was never professionally recognized, but was always there in AEW from the pandemic era and all that kind of stuff. And that was Taz's belt.
Yes.
That was his title. And now his son retires the belt and gives it back to him.
Yes. And the only way it'll re out is like if Hook has a son and does it later on. I'm pretty sure it's gone for a while. You know, Taz put out that the belt, and when he put it out, I thought that's what was going to happen. It was like, I wasn't even trying to guess, but he put out, if anybody knows this, just some information, the belt was born just a few miles away from Arthur Ashe in this area. And I was just like, it was just a weird tweet to put out, right? I guess he might have seen a lot of people complaining, like, why is this on the show? Why is this on the show? And it's like, when he put that out, I was like, is Hook going to retire the belt? And as soon as he got on the mic, I was actually on a call, so I couldn't hear it at first. I was like, oh, he's retiring the belt. And it was like, I didn't even have to hear him say it. It just played out like that. So I thought that was a really cool moment. I am happy for Hook. Yeah, I mean, I think he can move on to other things as far as going after different titles. I mean, you know, the last time him and your boy Jack Perry wrestled, he beat him in Wembley, you know? So you gotta at least think that puts him, you know, at least in line.
He would be the person that I would. He would be another person that I would think has to be in line for that title because I mean, because I can't personally think of many others. I mean, I can think of better wrestlers who could take that thing off of Jack.
Yes.
But that would make sense and that have history and there would be understandable reasoning for it. Hook is the one that makes the most sense right now, and I am on the train now. Give Hook the TNT Championship. Give him a title that is actually represented and acknowledged by AEW and is an official championship because I think we've seen the usage of Hook kick in gear. I don't want to see another period of time where Hook just disappears for a while and we're like, what happened to Hook? So
I want to make it clear, as much as I enjoyed Christian and Adam Copeland's time with the TNT belt, no more olds with the TNT belt.
Yeah, no, we need new championship. We need new blood for that title. Yeah.
Yes, if you want to get the Continental title, you got the International title, you got the World title. Leave those for the olds. Leave the TNT titles for the young people.
Exactly. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yes.
That's what it has always been.
Yes.
We then had the AEW World Tag Team Championship match between the Aerial Assassin Will Ospreay and the Protostar Kyle Fletcher versus the Young Bucks. The match was insane. Absolutely insane.
I never once questioned whether this match was going to be good. I questioned why you would have a makeshift team in this big opportunity.
Same.
And, you know, after a while, I came around. It's like, dude, just enjoy the fucking match kind of thing. And that's what I did. And I enjoyed the fucking match. And it was a crazy, and it was Young Bucks back in their rare form. And it's like when, you know, and the people's like, oh, Young Bucks proven they can still wrestle. And I was like,
could not wrestle.
To me, it was never about them not being able to wrestle. It was like they were trying to get the fans to boo them. And not boo them in like, oh, we still love you way. They wanted them to boo them in a real heat-driven way. So they couldn't wrestle their normal style because...
Right. This is what you traditionally got with the Young Bucks. And again, like that's kind of where my problem lies with the Young Bucks in the EVP things. Like, is the characters of them being the EVPs, is it fitting of the Young Bucks as heels? Absolutely. The problem with that is that the Young Bucks wrestle such a babyface style that, like, them being heels, it's like, it just doesn't work for me, you know what I mean? Because you see them wrestle and you see them do the things that they do, and it's like, I can't, you know what I mean? I can't be booing these people that are doing this insane level of working and insane level of movement and talent of physicality that they have, you know what I mean? It's just... it's impossible not to. The crowd was brought to their feet for both teams because of how insane everybody in this match wrestled. You know what I mean? So that's why Young Bucks as the EVP heels, I don't fuck with, because I think you use the Young Bucks as what they are. You know what I mean? They're the flippy guys. They're the guys that were killing the business with the way that they wrestled, who then proceeded to look at those people and go, fuck you. This is the way that we want to wrestle. And it gets reactions and it's over. You know what I mean? They were the rebels in that regard, which is the version of the Young Bucks that I loved the most. And then when they became heels, obviously you kind of try to tone back a little bit more of the wrestling style that you work, because you don't want to give them all the things that like fans want to see. You know what I mean? So that's why I've never been full. Like, are the EVP characters good? Yes. It doesn't work because the Young Bucks wrestle the style that they wrestle the best, yes, when they aren't heels.
So
this was a match that you got where they wrestled that style, but in return, Young Bucks got no heat in this match whatsoever. You know what I mean?
Yes, and I gotta get to a point that I wanted to make, is that we have to change Will Ospreay's nickname. He cannot be the assassin anymore. How can you be an assassin and not be willing to murder people?
Exactly, where you're like, I don't know if I can.
I knew
like,
it.
You can't hit him with a screwdriver.
I can't hit him with the tiger driver. I'm like, you're the assassin. Your name is the assassin. You murder people. I just don't understand
when your finisher is a move where you literally take the point of your elbow and you swing it as hard as you can to the back of somebody's head. How is that any less painful than you just dropping them on their head?
Correct. I was like, Will Ospreay, the assassin, my guy, Billy Goat, the best in-ring performer in the world. I don't think it's relatively close. It's just your story is kind of confusing right now. Because it's like, you're the assassin that won't kill.
Right. Okay. It worked with Bryan Danielson. You know what I mean? Yeah. But like, again, Kyle Fletcher was about to win you the World Tag Team Championship. Yes. Stop.
Yeah, you go assassinate these guys. And it's like the Young Bucks.
And they deserve it.
Yes.
They're pricks.
Yeah, they're pricks. And the Young Bucks would literally do the same thing to you and then did. Like a few minutes later.
And Kyle Fletcher with the championship belts to win the match.
Yes. So they were going to do it anyway. We knew they were going to do it. And you're like, I'm holding off. I'm like, God damn, baby faces are fucking stupid, and I hate
it. Dumb baby face syndrome, dude.
Yes.
Why do you think Floyd's been fans of heels his entire life?
Yes, because it's so dumb. Like, I want FTR to go back to breaking people's legs, starting with the Outrunners, because heels.
You bought that shirt, though, right? You bought that shirt that came out, right?
I did not buy the FTRunner shirt, because I
didn't.
What I just said, I feel like it's about to happen, so I just...
I see.
Yeah,
but it's there, though. Like, it's going to disappear, basically.
Yeah, it was like, It was like, I forgot which one. It was like FT War, and they wrestled like one match together, and now it's just sitting in the back of my closet.
Right.
I'm like, hey, I will give FTR my money, but I'm going to get something out of it, damn it.
For sure.
I was like, I'm not giving you your money. I'm not doing this Y2AJ thing where literally before the shirt, I bought the shirt, and before it got to me, they had already broken up. Before right. I actually had the shirt in my possession, the shirt was old. No, you're not doing that to
exactly.
me again.
Out of date.
Yeah, it was out of date before I got the shirt. Dude, I got this. They broke up the day I got the shipping number.
No, yeah.
Dude. So, you know, yeah, I was going to say, they stole $40 from me. So, hey, if FTR and OutRunner stick together for a while, let me get a couple more weeks, I'll buy the shirt. Because it's actually an awesome shirt. I love pink, so I want the shirt. But, the OutRunners did the Shatter Machine, so I feel like
with that said, though, the tag match was insane. I have one other complaint that was driving me up a fucking wall. I hate Rick Knox.
My guy.
Like, people have had this weird hatred of... No. Bryce is tame. Rick Knox fucking sucks. Hey. And I say that because, I mean, he's in the Young Bucks' back pocket. That's their referee.
Yeah.
And the way this man was so fucking slow to get set to make a count for three was driving me up a wall. I was like, motherfucker, get down and count. You are so goddamn slow.
He knows where his bread is buttered, just like the referees in the NFL.
He knows where his money is coming from.
Yeah, he knows, just like the refs in the NFL with the Chiefs, he knows what gets them going.
It's so, but the thing is, though, it's so obvious that I feel like AEW should lean into it. We want Rick Knox as our referee, and everyone's like, no, he's crooked, he's a stooge. It should be something that should be part of their characters, since you are the EVPs, you're supposed to have power, even though we barely see you utilize that power, because, again, you'll get one up by TK, that's another EVP characters, they have no power. They don't showcase their power. They're worthless. Dude. So you want to actively have showcasing of your power. Rick Knox is your Lil Nate.
Let
Rick Knox be your Lil Nate. Actively fucking make that part of your character. Make that part of your thing. Have him be an honorary member of the Elite. Rick Knox should be actively showcased as a stooge referee that is hired by the Young Bucks. He already is, so just lean into it, all I'm saying.
And then after you do that, when they finally lose, whenever that is, it's because Rick Knox gets taken out and somebody else comes and helps.
Yeah, there's a ref bump, he goes down, and you see the panic on their face, and have Aubrey or Bryce or Paul Turner or anybody come in there and be the new referees, which would another they could use as an excuse as to why they lost the match. It just makes sense. Not just from a factoid of, like, I don't like Rick Knox as a referee, but also just from the factoid of, like, guys, like, it makes too much sense. You should be using this. You know what I mean? But again, they're allergic to money. It's whatever.
Dude, it's like one of those things. It's just right now, this Mox thing is breaking out and all that stuff. And it's like, as much as I like about AEW, like I said, it's the 80-20 rule. And that 20 changes depending on the time. And it's just like, the lack of story building in the tag team division is still very much in my 20%.
Absolutely.
Like, that was a great idea. I'm like, I had another idea where to keep FTR and the Young Bucks from fighting, they join up together and they, you know, they like, hey, we built these tag team divisions and these young people aren't, you know, like loving what we're doing or whatever. But there's a lot of different things. I mean, sure. Fantasy booking's fantasy booking. I don't do this for a living. I'm going to leave this shit to the professionals. But it just seems like there's obvious stuff there that can be done to enhance the product. And it's like where it's not even taking a lot of thought. Like that thing, it's obvious. Rick Knock has, I think, literally called every Young Bucks tag match. Like,
every single one.
So, yeah. So, to make that a part of the storyline seems pretty good. Like, you know, Brandon Cutler's a stooge and Rick Knock's a stooge. But I want to give a standing ovation to my Young Bucks, saving the tag team division. I sent my gift of Brandon Cutler was back behind him dancing. That I was like, that's me. Because my boys, Nick and Matt, they saved it in two different ways. First, they went out and put on a Young Bucks match. The reason Young Bucks are 1B and my 1A, 1B is because of the match they put on Wednesday. Like, dude, if people say they can't storytell, they can't blah, 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 I'm like, you're not watching the matches. You're just talking out of your ass. This was just brilliant tag team wrestling. This is what I expect to see from the Young Bucks. Will Ospreay and Kyle, I mean, like, Kyle Fletcher. Everyone, when you talk about United Empire, you talk about Aussie Open, you're talking about like one of my favorite tag teams other than the two aforementioned tag teams. So when we're looking at this, this match was just amazing athleticism, physical action. This was an AEW tag team match. This is what I learned. This is what the example that was set was the AEW tag team match. Like I said, I've said this before. I steal it from Bad Boys. When, you know, this is how you drive. Well, this is the type of match I want every fucking time. Go out there and just bang. And just go out there and keep everybody on the itch. Keep everybody. Leave it all out there. And make sure your audience are calling their friends to tell each other, man, you got to watch this tag team match.
I've never questioned the wrestling ability of the Young Bucks. I've always said it's the reason why I fell in love with them when I first became a fan of the Elite and became a fan of all those guys heading into All In 2018.
Yes, but it is time.
But again, like I said, you see them wrestle that style and you're like, why the fuck are these guys heels?
Yes.
They wrestle too damn good to be this type of character where they can't wrestle like this because of the fact that they are dog shit heels. So again, that's the level of like, you understand my frustrations with the Young Bucks, and their characters.
Absolutely.
Moving on. I, that being said though, I will say the breaking apart of Kyle Fletcher and Will Ospreay, the matches those two guys are going to have are going to be fucking insane.
Yes, and next week we do get Will Ospreay versus Ricochet, which is...
Exactly. Yes. So, I mean, we're already getting that. Dude, the Will Ospreay run in AEW has been legendary already, and we're not even, like, more than a couple years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. Quick little thing with the conglomeration. Rocky Romero was actually actively added as a member of the conglomeration, which was nice little thing. But we'll move on to the next segment, which was Prince Nana providing an update on Swerve Strickland.
I was wondering why this was on the show and not like Twitter video.
No. It wasn't even that, dude. I was scrolling through Twitter before this segment, and I'm gonna get to it too. So Nana quickly goes, "Is like good to be in Swerve's house in New York." But Swerve is physically not cleared to come back, but he's fighting hard every single day for each and every one of you. Whose house? Swerve's house. Before this segment happened, it was...
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Right during, I believe, the conglomeration we're talking, and it was before the commercial break, I was looking on my phone. I was Twitter. And as I was looking on Twitter, I saw a tweet from a certain wrestler or a certain manager, whatever the case may be. I saw a tweet from this man, and it was MVP, who goes out and he tweets, literally leading into this segment, he tweets out, let me make sure I have it just to be certain that I remember it. But he tweets out, I got to find it. I got to make sure I get this point in. Why can't I? Dude, Twitter is so ass. You can't even find people's Twitter accounts like normally, because it makes it so goddamn hard for you to find people's names. Regardless, he tweets out basically, get ready, or something along the lines of that. And as he says that, I then look up from my phone, and MVP walks out. He interrupts Prince Nana. And I'm like, oh my God. And MVP comes out, and he talks up Swerve Strickland. Dangerous AEW. He's one of the most phenomenal talent to step in foot in AEW. He has not been pinned in 8 months. He has not been submitted in 8 months. But I saw when Swerve lost the title, when his childhood home was burned to the ground. Why is that man who beat Swerve still walking around and smiling? Why is the man that burned Swerve's house burnt to the ground? Why is that man still walking around? I don't see it as a failure of Swerve's. I see it as a failure of Swerve's management. And then Nana just kind of stares. Yeah, he tweeted it's going down, basically, is what he said. Nana's taken aback, and he goes, let Swerve know when he's ready to be taken seriously again, give him my business card, and I'll be ready to talk business. And when you zoom into the card that was given to Nana, the business card said MVP, and it said Hurt Syndicate. Ooh, buddy. This was something we were talking about for a little while, about this being a possibility. But it's he.
Yeah, and
Bobby Lashley is not too far away, my man.
He is not too far away. And Bobby Lashley is just one of those dudes that it's like he looked like WWE. He wrestled like WWE. He had a talking. He was like, he was Black Brock Lesnar, and MVP was Black Paul Heyman. And it was like, you had this formula that works, and you just never went all the way in with Bobby. And I never understood it. I don't think that's going to be a problem now going forward. I think they're going to be allowed to do what they do. Swerve versus Lashley. Ah, that's nasty. Swerve with Lashley. That's nastier. So, yeah, MVP is like, he's always been a performer that I liked. I'm never going to say he was my favorite. He wasn't when he first debuted, I'm coming, and he was this athlete. I really did. He was like one of my favorite people out there. I love the whole Montavious Porter thing. And then he went off, and he's always had this way of just everything that he does. He brings, I'm like, this dude was supposed to be champion in TNA and like fucks up his knee and then turns it into something fucking better where he's managing Bobby Lashley. And it's just like, this dude has such a mind for business. It's like, it's like one of those things when you want him as an asset on your team.
Right.
as long as you are. It's like he's going to make it matter. Whether you put him in the world title picture, you put him in the mid-card title picture, you wherever you put him, MVP's going to make that segment matter. So I'm very happy that he's on the team. And he made it pretty clear that this seems to be like this might be this is going to be like his last run. But yeah. He's also like he seems like a guy you want in the back too. So even if he's done wrestling, maybe he's not done with wrestling. So no, but this whole thing, it's like the Mox thing. You gave me a little bit. I don't know where it's going. It can go. There's 16 different directions it can go.
Oh yeah.
Like everyone feels like they know where it's going. They like this is gonna be Lashley versus Swerve. Like everybody feels like they know where it's going, but they. Doesn't have to go that way.
Yeah, you don't fully know.
Like everybody feels like it's going this way, but you know, I don't think anyone knows. So if to me, it's like one of those things where you know, have your plan, whatever you have planned, go with it, but throw a few red herrings in there and make us think. You know, like, oh, maybe Swerve starts asking Nana. So why isn't this way or whatever, and we see where it goes from there. But I don't know, play around with it, keep us on the edge of our seats, then boom, give it to us. Because dude, Lashley versus Swerve, I'm excited to see.
As am I, dude. It's gonna be so great. There is a quick little vignette about Jack Perry driving his dumb fucking bus across the bridge and how he's gonna have an open challenge match for the TNT championship. Cool. Sounds good. Can't wait.
More bang for your bus. Bang bus. Yeah. I don't. Some people know what I'm talking about. Some people don't. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're so innocent and I love you.
It's so stupid. We'll move on to the Glamour, Mariah May, defending her Women's World Championship against the magical girl, Yuka Sakazaki. Gotta be honest. Because I love Yuka, and everyone knows how much I love Mariah May. And I love everyone who was involved after the match. This didn't hit for me.
I mean, honestly, it's one of those things. Like, so there's two things that, to me, make a match work. You're either going to have to go Young Bucks and, you know, super athletic, so it's such a good performance you don't care who wins, right? Or you got to keep it, you got to not know who's going to win. You got to have one of those two things in to make a good match. Well, first of all, wasn't super athletic. And second of all, whoever was going to win was never in doubt. So it was just like, this match existed. It happened. It was a match to get to the next thing.
Pretty much. And again, like, there was at least storyline developments with it, because after the match was over, Willow Nightingale comes out after Mariah is slamming the belt onto Yuka. She comes out and intervenes. Then Mina Shirakawa comes out. Obviously, she's been called for from Mariah, who wants her Mina back. And she causes a distraction accidentally, allowing Mariah to hit Willow in the head with the belt. And Mina's like, "What? Why are you doing this?" And Mariah's like, "I missed you so much." And basically, Mina's like, "I don't know about this." It was very rushed, and I don't think it came across well.
I think the point was to show that Mina.
I mean, we know Mina is like, hang on, this isn't the same girl that I fell in love with. This isn't my best friend. Yes, obviously, correct. That's the biggest thing that we know is what it was getting across. And Mina's reactions did that part. The part where it's like, you know. Oh, she accidentally caused a distraction, allowing Mariah to get the jump on Willow and all that kind of stuff. That part was rushed, and it just didn't come across well.
It did not. It did not. And I agree.
That being said, though, like Mariah and Mina's relationship is something that is interesting to me. I needed storyline development with Mariah, obviously, because like she beat Tony, she's the world champion, she's just beaten up on other girls. That aren't like championship in that championship mode yet. Having Mina come back and now you develop their relationship and like where they're going and stuff like that, and Mina being like, this isn't the girl that I teamed with in Japan, this isn't my partner, I don't even recognize this person anymore. That is interesting. And if it leads to Mina versus Mariah, that's the match right now that I'm looking forward to in terms of the Women's World Championship. We just need that develop. It just needs to get going. You know what I mean? Because we just had a couple weeks of just like Mariah just doing her thing. You know what I mean?
So we got a little bit of this with Toni Storm at the beginning, right?
We did.
She was playing so much into her character, she wasn't having good matches. And then halfway through, she just started wrestling like Toni Storm wrestled, putting on banger matches, but still playing the character, right? Mariah May is playing the character, but she's not even putting on the matches she was putting on when she was with Toni. So we need to still keep the character and then put on good matches. Like the one thing, Mariah, how hard she hits, how physical she was, and it just feels like that's kind of getting lost in this character, which is fine, because the whole thing is she's not who she is anymore because fame has went to her head. I get that, but AEW is a match company. As much as we love storylines, they're a match company. So if you go in and you put on this great storyline and you don't put a match with it, everybody's going to come out disappointed.
No, exactly.
Yeah, so it was like with this match existed. Yes. And I didn't, like, with it being the representation of the women's division on this show.
Yeah, it was the one women's match.
I needed to do more. Match. Yeah, I needed to do more than exist.
Exactly. That's the thing. It's like, you know, we're not in that position, guys, where you don't just have one women's going on. Because we have things looking. Britt Baker's going to be wrestling next week when she takes on Serena Deeb. We're going to get Britt Baker wrestling in Britsburg and on the Dynamite anniversary. So, like, you know, there's things here. The Mercedes Moné's TBS championship run. There are other things in the women's division. So when you only go out and put one women's thing on a show, that women's thing that you put on the show has to matter. So, like, I love everybody involved in this match, segment, everything.
Mm-hmm.
It did not produce like I feel like it should.
Correct.
And the talent tried. It didn't work. But now that we got Mina involved, I think this is the moment where we're going to get the build towards that match, which I think those two will absolutely fucking kill it. Like, I know they will.
And literally you introduce the most over woman in the women's division, Willow Nightingale. And
exactly.
This is leading to her being in the title picture. That is amazing for me.
Right. There you go. So we then get into the main event, the number one contenders match between Darby Allin and Jon Moxley. Obviously, Darby was set to have a title match against Bryan Danielson at Grand Slam. Jon Moxley jumped Bryan Danielson at All Out, causing him to be removed from the show and the match to be put on hold. Basically, it was delayed. And then now Moxley has called out Darby and challenged him for that number one contendership opportunity, which Darby has accepted. Again, going into this, I knew exactly what was happening. I knew Darby was losing this match. I knew Jon Moxley was winning to give us a match that I think is going to be incredible, which is Jon Moxley versus Bryan Danielson, where I personally believe Moxley will be the one to retire Bryan Danielson. It just makes too much sense in my head. But you know me. We did the little thing on like the types of AEW fans, the types of fanboys and all that kind of stuff. And I absolutely was the one where I vouched for my guys. And if my guys or girls weren't succeeding, I was very mad and I made noise about it. You know what I mean? Darby Allin is my guy. You know what I mean? Since this company was created, since Fighter Fest 2019, Darby Allin was my guy. Since his match with Cody at that show, I was like, this is my guy. I'm like, I love Darby Allin so fucking much. I named my cat after Darby, okay? That's where I'm at with it, okay? So I wasn't looking forward to Darby losing his world title shot because I think Darby Allin should be a world champion, and I know he will be. Moxley literally even went out there the week before and said, you will never be world champion, which is code for he's going to be the world champion. He is. But That being said, this match is a reminder to everybody. Darby Allin is the heart and soul of this company. Darby wrestled his ass off. He threw himself. He was tossed around. He was beaten up, bleeding from the mouth. The shot of him where he's getting choked out by Jon Moxley, and he's literally got like this, like, just crazed look in his eyes, and he's foaming from the mouth, basically, as he works himself to the ropes. Darby makes you care so much. The fans literally chanted, "You can't kill him." It's one of my favorite chants this year. There's been some great chants that we've gotten in AEW. "You can't kill him." Unbelievable.
Absolutely. I agree.
Darby Allin just would not go away. Moxley screaming. He asked for this as they pull off the pads, the padding and the flooring on the concrete and revealing the exposed floor. And Darby literally throwing himself, suicide diving through the bottom and middle rope and missing Moxley and hitting one of the most vicious bumps I've seen in a while. Like next to the cinder block spot that we saw in the steel cage match with Hangman and Swerve. That bump looked like it sucked. Darby just would not go away. Kept fighting. But eventually, as he goes for a superplex on the top rope, Marina Shafir distracts Darby. That's where Moxley hits an avalanche death rider.
That was disgusting. That move looked disgusting. I loved it.
Gross. Like, so gross. And that is what is the finish as Darby gets pinned. And Jon Moxley will face Bryan Danielson at WrestleDream in Seattle for the AEW World Championship. And I'm excited for that match. I am. I'm excited for it's going to be amazing. Yes. And I'm excited for this version of Moxley to be world champion. He's going to be the first 4-time world champion in AEW, which is huge. And Moxley's the ace. You know what I mean? We've always said Moxley is the ace.
He's the ace. He's the Undertaker. He's the, like, he's the measuring stick of AEW, like,
since the company first started.
Yeah, since the company first started. It was like, how did MJF, who did MJF finally beat to get to champ? Hangman wasn't who he was supposed to be until he beat Mox. Orange Cassidy wasn't who he was supposed to be until he beat Mox. He's the litmus test. If you can't beat Mox, hang with Mox. Swerve's match, when Swerve was getting built, it was Mox. Dude, Mox is the measuring stick of where you're at in this company. He is the Sandman of the company, the Undertaker of the company. Exactly. He is the face of AEW. As much as anybody wants to argue it, he is. He is the grizzled, psychotic, serial killer face of AEW right now. And that's the vibes he's giving off. And I can't wait. I don't know when it's going to happen. I can't wait for Mox's actions to be explained more, because I know when he cuts that promo, he cuts that promo, it's going to be amazing.
Absolutely. No, it's going to be so amazing. So amazing.
And then you're going to be wondering, like, should we hate him? Because that's the kind of promo he's going to cut. You're going to be like, right. No, should we be rooting for him or should we hate him? You know, that kind of promo. Yeah.
No, exactly. But again, this match just continues to, like, anytime someone says, like, who is the guy, because I'm gonna say this firmly, and I don't think you can argue it either, I think the best homegrown AEW star is Darby Allin. Homegrown. Nobody knew who Darby was before he got signed by AEW. I'm sure there were some on the independents where he wrestled and stuff like that, but I mean, like, he was pretty much unknown.
Yeah, he was big and evolved. Like, you know, I mean, it's one of those things. I'll say this.
It's one of those things. Yeah, obviously, I'm not trying to say the internet geeks,
the internet nerds knew who he was, right?
Yes.
But I had never watched Evolve.
I hadn't either.
So when I saw him and I was like, why is this child wrestling? And he completely flipped me. Straight 180, like, dude, I am the biggest idiot in the world because how did I not see this? And it was just like, because it's a very deceptive way. He makes you care about him. It's like,
he makes you care so much.
Yes. And it's just like, you, when he gets, when he goes through the ring and lands back first on the exposed concrete, you feel that in your back because you are Darby Allin in that moment. Yes.
No, and I keep going back to that Cody match that he had, because, dude, I've never been so sold on a wrestler in one match, in that 30-minute draw. That draw that he had against Cody sold me immediately. I'm like, oh, there's my favorite wrestler in AEW.
Yeah, it took me a lot longer than that.
I know. No, I was the one that was like, when you finally turned, I was like, yes!
Because I got WWE brain. I'll tell anybody that I got WWE brain. And you got to look like Cody or bigger, you know, for me to get it and get on, you know, like be there. So it's like, he wasn't like, because to me, like, some of my favorite wrestlers are like 5'8 to 5'10 area, but he was so slight. He was so small, but it adds to his character so much. He has taken his size and took something that I saw as a detriment and as a negative, and it's the biggest positive. I don't want Darby to get bigger. It would throw off who his character is.
Right. No, exactly. And again, I'm not concerned with Darby's position and all that kind of stuff. I mean, this guy's AEW ride or die all the way. Like, I'm not concerned with him in terms of, like, him being mishandled or all that kind of stuff. And I'm not concerned that, you know, oh, he lost his world title shot. Because Darby Allin will be world champion in AEW. It is a guarantee at this point. It is such a guarantee that if Darby Allin, for whatever reason, does not become AEW world champion, because obviously there's the concern in a lot of fans that, like, oh my God, this man's going to kill himself with how he wrestles, or like he's going to have like such a short career. If Darby Allin is in a position where he can't wrestle anymore and he doesn't become AEW world champion, Tony Khan, I am burning down Everbank Stadium before Jaguars fans get the chance for you guys calling it Trevor Bank Stadium. You're a good job. So that's how confident I am that Darby is going to be world champion. Because if he doesn't, I'm burning down Everbank Stadium. That's how it goes, guys. I'm so hyped for the Moxley Danielson match. That's going to feed families. It's going to be in a great closure on Danielson in AEW and Danielson's unbelievable wrestling career. And Moxley as a heel world champion in this version of Moxley is going to be just the biggest tower for someone to overcome. And I think it should be Darby.
Yes.
It has to be. You know what I mean?
Yes. The thoughts of Austin Sumowitz only represent the thoughts of Austin Sumowitz and not that of All Things Elite in Social Suplex. I have no intent to burn anything down. None of us are there. If we find out that he's going to burn anything down, we will call the authorities. Thank you.
Hey, man. Hangman's a free man right now. You saying I can't get away with it?
Hey, I'm just putting the disclaimer out there. I'm just letting you know. I am not.
Hangman can get away with burning someone's childhood house. I can absolutely, because I have Jaguars fans right now who are ready to do the exact same thing with the way that team's playing.
Dude, I mean, if we ever do a football podcast, I have lots of thoughts on what's wrong with Jacksonville. But,
Shad Khan literally said before the season, this is the best roster we've ever assembled. And you started 0-3.
Yeah, I'm just going to throw this out here. Before the season, Mike Norvell said about Florida State, this is the fastest team we've ever had. I can't wait to, and their season has pretty much started out identical. So, how about we not say that before seasons anymore?
But maybe let's not do such a thing. You know?
Let's not do that anymore. And like, so
we would really love to see that not be the case. Where it's so bad that you have to put in Mac Jones at quarterback. Moving on though from the football talk.
Yes.
No one's here for it. That was AEW Dynamite Grand Slam. Pretty damn good show, I will say. It doesn't live up to the other Grand Slams personally for me, but it was damn good, especially from a wrestling standpoint, I feel like. Specifically with the tag match, and then this match. Because again, dude, God damn it, if Darby Allin doesn't make you feel with the way that he wrestles, and Moxley is just vicious as a heel, and I really like this version of Moxley. I'm just looking forward to the point where we get more understanding as to why he's doing the things that he's doing, and having Danielson come out and chasing him out and saying he's going to kick his fucking head in was a great way to close the show.
Grand Slam is never can't be Grand Slam anymore because of all the pay-per-views and stuff they run.
Right.
We had Big Show All In, we had Big Show All Out, and then you got Grand Slam, then you got the next pay-per-view. It's just Grand Slam was like a pay-per-view when in the world when that they were doing four pay-per-views a year. It was the fifth pay-per-view, and it was just like, now that you have so many pay-per-views, there's no need for the fifth pay-per-view. So,
right.
I don't know. They'll figure it out because I have nothing but faith in AEW. But, yeah, it just – it's like – it feels just like another show. It didn't feel like big. You know,
it didn't feel like the previous Grand Slams.
Correct.
No, 1,000%. But that's with what the pay-per-view schedule is now for AEW.
Correct.
But – moving on, though, this is what we got coming up for Rampage and Collision Grand Slam. So for Rampage, tonight when you guys are listening to this, we're going to have Malakai Black and Buddy Matthews versus Lio Rush and Action Andretti. Konosuke Takeshita will go one-on-one with Angelico. Willow Nightingale goes one-on-one with Taya Valkyrie. The Acclaimed will be in action, and we'll also be getting Anna Jay versus Robin Renegade. So good to see Anna Jay back wrestling too. She's been away for a while.
She says she's going after some gold. So I'm glad to hear about that. I heard this Rampage because this was actually recorded last Saturday, and yes, I heard it was really good. So
there you go.
I did not read the spoilers or anything. I just knew someone was there. So they said it was really good. So make sure you check out Rampage or at least watch it Saturday morning.
Exactly. And then we got huge stuff for Collision Grand Slam. You've got Jack Perry's dumb fuck TNT open chant. We've got a three-way Lucha Libre match between the Beast Mortos, Dralístico, and Hologram.
That's going to be a banger.
Fuck me.
Yes.
That's going to be a banger. Saraya will go one-on-one with Jamie Hayter in a Saraya's Rules match, which if you haven't seen Harley Cameron explain a Saraya's Rules match, do that. It's very, very entertaining. Basically, if Saraya does anything bad, it's completely fine. But if Jamie does, it's bad. We then have a Tornado Trios match between Chris Jericho, Big Bill, and Brian Keith. So basically the Learning Tree and his branches versus the Conglomeration, Orange Cassidy, Briscoe, and Kyle O'Reilly. We have a Lumberjack strap match between Hangman Adam Page and Jeff Jarrett. The AEW World Trios Championships will be defended by Pac, Claudio, and Wheeler Yuta versus Private Party and Commander. And then there's a AEW Continental Championship Eliminator match between the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Champion Sammy Guevara versus Kazuchika Okada. It's fucking stacked, honestly, for a Collision Grand Slam.
Yeah, Okada and Guevara is like, that's a never before match. So,
yeah.
Or if it's not a never before match, it's not a match people widely known. I'm not going to look on Cage Match, but that's the one I'm most excited for. FTR is not on the show, so that was
boo.
Weird. That was weird
boo.
To me. But and the Outrunners aren't on the show, right?
No, they're not.
Dude, come on. So
they were on last week.
So this is what I'm hoping for. This is a small hope, is that we get a FTR Outrunners 80s segment. 80s, like,
please.
Yes. So like them doing all the weightlifting and all that shit together. That would be hilarious. I don't know. But yeah. So Malakai and Buddy as a tag team. I am more of a fan of Malakai and Brody. Kings of the Black Throne. I would have them just run through the tag team division. I would. I'd just have them kill everyone. But when you talk about in-ring performances, dude, there's not many people better than Buddy Matthews.
It really isn't.
So you got Buddy and Malakai, and they're going against Lio and Action Andretti. That match is going to bang. You just say those four people know how to put on a good show. So they're going to go out there and bang.
Yeah. No, it's going to be it's going to be really, really cool to see, honestly. And I'm super hyped for what we're going to get there. That is what we've got for Collision, Grand Slam, and Rampage. We've only got a couple other things that we want to hit on real quick. First of all, Floyd, can you go through the headlines that we got for AEW?
All right. Full Gear tickets are on sale. I actually sent out a tweet because if you use the code AEW sent out, literally, and I was like 13 rows in the hundreds, and the tickets were like $512, $456. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to this show. Right? So my boy Adam sent me a different code. I guess it went out to other things. I didn't have this code. And once you went through, the tickets were way more reasonable. Like in the 100 section, 158, 100 or whatever. And I was just like,
yeah, I was going to say you were a little concerned.
I was concerned. Well, like I said, and that's why I just put wow. I didn't want to jump to the conclusion. I'm not going to the show or anything. I just put like, this seems like a lot of money. Like right. I'm doing something wrong. And guess what? I was doing something wrong, so I was very happy about that. But yeah, I was like, so this company that's kind of struggling to move tickets is raising their prices to above WWE prices? No, that's no. But nope, I was wrong. That was completely on me. But you should get Full Gear tickets. November 23rd, Newark, New Jersey. I am going with my good friend Jackie and my good friend Journey. We got us three seats. We're going to have a good time. We're going to eat some yummy food. I am looking forward to hanging with Jackie because we like literally have never hung outside of a wrestling event. So that'd be pretty cool. And yeah, just looking forward to Full Gear because I didn't go last year. Last year was the first one I missed. So
right.
This will be finally Floyd has come back to Full Gear. Yeah, and hopefully, you know, FTR is on the show. That'd be great.
Please. We need FTR on more things.
And then it was announced by Fightful and reposted by several different places. Soraya signed a new 1-year deal with AEW, so she is sticking around. I'm happy for her. She seems to be a solid locker room person. Like, yeah. Everyone loves her, and she just brings that happiness to it. And I'm like, I, when you're dealing building a football team or you're building a sports team, you've always heard you the glue guy, the guy that keeps everybody's spirits up and all that stuff. Seems like Saraya is that. And then she's also very entertaining, you know, so and I think she brings a lot to the roster.
Yeah, no, it's been fun having her for sure. And I love like her relationship with Harley Cameron is pretty entertaining. And she had that amazing last year where she was crowned world champion in her home country. And it was genuinely such an amazing moment.
And
it was so cool to see. And just her being able to come back in any sort of way too, from a girl who was considered like she was never going to get the chance to wrestle again. So it was just, it's just really cool to see, honestly.
Yeah, a lot of people in AEW that were never supposed to wrestle again, wrestling again.
Yeah.
And Nigel McGuinness.
Getting another chance. Yeah. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes. So adding Nigel to that list was great. So
absolutely. Yeah. That, though, I think is going to do it for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode and all episodes of the show. We appreciate the support. If you guys enjoy the show, we encourage you to continue to download the show. If you listen to us on YouTube Music, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, give us a download. Give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. Rate, review, subscribe. Turn automatic downloads on. Follow us on Twitter at ATElitePod. Follow at Social Suplex, who make this show possible. And check out all the other shows they've got on their network. You will not be disappointed. I am at Austin Sumowicz, SZUMOWICZ. Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. I will leave you with this personally, like just to let you know if you think like you're in a situation where you're struggling and it seems like there's no hope and you are fighting up a current that you just feel like you can't swim up. I will leave you with a sports thing because I am a sports guy and I like using the analogies of sports to tie into real life. The Detroit Tigers, if we get personal, are one game away. One win away from making the playoffs for the first time in pretty much a decade. Now, back in August, this team was 8 games back of a 500 record. So they were having a losing season in the month of August. Going into the month of September, there had only been one team in the history of Major League Baseball who was 8 games back of a 500 record and still made the playoffs at the end of the season. It was the 1973 New York Mets. They are the one and only in a sport that has spanned millennia, a sport that has been decades upon decades upon decades old. They are the only team that have been able to do it. The Tigers are about to do it now. It's very exciting for me, but it also shows, too, it's like when shit is not going your way and when you are struggling and you feel like there is absolutely no way, this year's a loss, this year's a wash, there's nothing I can do to make things right. Things can always happen because there's no explanation as to how the Tigers are doing the things that they are doing. They have one of the lowest payrolls in baseball. They have a bunch of people that most people couldn't even tell you who are in their lineup. They have one star player, and it's a pitcher. Yet they are doing what they are doing. If my Detroit Tigers can do that for a city who has been dying for playoff baseball, whatever slump you are in right now, I promise you, just keep pushing. Just keep moving forward. Keep taking it day by day. Things will turn around in your favor. It always gets better. It always gets better. There are peaks and valleys in life. If you're in a valley right now, just keep moving. That's all I'm saying. It's an exciting moment for me as a sports fan, but I like using analogies in sports to tie into real life. So if you are struggling, I implore you. It gets better. It really does. And I will pass it off to Floyd so he can also take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Well, I have nothing to add to that. That was a perfect way to go off the show. I will just leave you how I always leave you. Actually, I can't leave you how I always leave you. I want to remind everybody, there will be a special live stream tonight, or September 27th, if you're listening to the show, from the Social Suplex. It has been sent out on all of our pages, including All Things Elite. Make sure you go to the live stream. So look forward to that. I had to add that in there because I almost forgot. Make sure you do that. But I will then leave you how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.